People say we inevitably become our parents, but what weight does that carry when one of your parents is a serial killer? Join Melissa Jesperson Moore on Happy Face as she travels back into her past, searching for insight into her father's crimes. Listen and follow on the iHeartRadio app or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Nick Hardwick.
Jamie's half Polish. I feel like I can throw shade at the... Wait, don't hit the dump button on me.
Judson Richards.
I believe that's dry humping.
Hardwick and Richards are on the air.
Yeah, up and running on a Monday on Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego. We are here. We have finally made it. Like Costa trying to get through an update. Oh, my God. Good Lord. How far did you go to find a bathroom?
I didn't go to the bathroom. I had to go. I dropped my inhaler in the frickin' lobby. So I go to Ben and I said, how much time we got left? He goes, 3 minutes. I go, okay. I can, because I didn't know where it was.
I got four.
I'm trying to backtrack to where I dropped it. So I finally, I'm like, okay, not here in the studio, blah, blah, blah. So it's finally laying out in the middle floor of the lobby. And then, of course, I can't get the door back open. And then... I'm here, though. That's the most important thing. How are you? And we're back together again.
Oh, buddy. Mike Costa in for Nick Hardwick this morning. In
fact,
we got a number of shows to do. So I didn't, you know, you're a pro's pro. So I was like, he'll probably walk in here right before we get started. I was like, I can do that update for you. I'm used to doing updates. I'm going to do the 30s. You're going to do. And he's like, no, I got this. And then I was like, good Lord, you may die before the show starts. You're just completely out of breath.
I am reading the updates thinking, okay, I can get a breath in here. I can get a breath in over here. There's a pregnant pause that's warranted. Oh, yeah, I'll breathe right here, too.
Yeah, you almost just took your last pause.
Good.
Praying to the pregnant pause, the last pause. Hit that inhaler, my friend.
I'm good.
Because
I'm
we good. Have 3 hours of action.
Let's
on a
go.
President's Day weekend. We've grabbed some of your finest moments. We may talk about avocados and kicking shoes at some point throughout the show.
It happens.
We're going to get to Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, where we are with Major League Baseball coming up in about 30 minutes. Andy Halbrun from Peoria.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go talk some spring training 7:30. And our man Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, usually on the beat of the NFL. We'll talk some AAF with Sam Monson coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. All right, so those that you are up and grinding away on a President's Day weekend, let's hear from you. 844-570-1360. Did you take in some football this weekend? Did you take in any AAF? We have this question for you as well. Did the AAF take a step forward in week two? 844-570-1360 at Casa 1360 at Judson 1360. What'd you find yourself watching this weekend, Casa, way of football?
I watched, by way of football, Fleet. I did not go to the game, completely being transparent. I'm not going to try to fake like I did. It was my dad's birthday yesterday, so
happy birthday, Mr. Costa.
And so I watched the game on television last night, and you know, it was a step forward. There was some marked improvement, but it still is a little rough, I guess, around the edges when you kind of break it down. You know, the offensive line is still coming along, the quarterback play is still coming along. I thought defensively they looked a little better running game wise. Yeah, they looked a lot better. And
you saw that? Because you were watching a lot closer than I was. I still
and they got in the end zone.
They did get in the end zone. It took eight quarters, and then it opened up like floodgates. I to be perfectly honest, I don't know exactly how to watch it as of yet. And that's, you know, that's kind of where my curiosity is, because last week, you know, the storyline last week was it looked better than we expected.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if that storyline would lead to curiosity to week two, and then what would the storyline be from a week three standpoint? Like, the, you know, the brilliance of the NFL is they may play one day a week, but we talk about them every minute of every hour that leads to intrigue for the game itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it'll necessarily work if we take a 6 day break in between games. So as I'm watching this, it's like, all right, well, does Philip Nelson become a popular player when we pay more attention to him? Is it Mike Martz's offense that makes us pay more attention? Like, the storylines in it, and I know that this is the inaugural season, and they're just, you know, they're probably, I bet their heads are spinning to try to figure out how exactly this is going to work and work big time. I still am kind of wondering what will get you know, what will be the fabric that has us American sports fans kind of look for next weekend and build the suspense towards it.
I wonder if we were watching through rose-colored lenses last weekend because it was, oh my God, we got football after the Super Bowl. We have what America loves the most, mm-hmm. more of.
Right.
And so if we went into that thinking, yeah, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. It's, you know, and the optics of this weekend, people took the rose-colored glasses off and were actually looking at for what it is. And it's good all-star college-level football right now.
Well, let's hear. It was right here on Astro 1360. This was the final call of the game last night. John Schaefer, Rich Hornberger in the booth. And if you were out there, 844-570-1360, what did you make of the atmosphere? Well, we'll acknowledge it was a rainy night. Those may be like me, had tickets, decided not to go because of the rain. This is what it sounded like on Extra.
But that will be the final play of the football game. And San Diego victorious on night number one at SDCCU Stadium as the Fleet even their record at 1-1 with a 24-12 come-from-behind victory over the Atlanta Legends.
The fireworks are going off at San Diego County Credit Union Stadium. Pro football is back, and we have our first win from a professional football standpoint in almost 800 days here on the hallowed grounds of Jack Murphy Field. An exciting day all around for the Fleet.
Just when you thought you couldn't get hallowed grounds into the broadcast, Rich Hornberger is there for you. Rich and John, I did hear them while out and about in the car yesterday. They did a terrific job. How much have you guys been talking about the attendance and what it would look like at SDCCU Stadium?
Okay, the point I tried to make last week was you only have one chance to make a first impression. I know that's terribly cliched, but if you wanted to send a very, very strong indicator to the NFL offices in New York and then our neighbors to the north in Carson and Costa Mesa, show up for this Fleet game. And I'm upset because the rain, I think, like you,
yes.
I think the rain kept a lot of people away. To get 20,000, though, in San Diego, we know we're soft when the weather comes, I think is a really, really good benchmark starting point.
844-570-1360. And again, like, I don't, are people soft if you stay home from a game if you think it's going to rain? Honestly, is that soft if you don't go to a game when you think it's going to rain? I'll ask you out there because, you know,
I'll be a total hypocrite. I'll say, yeah, it is. And in the same vein, I will stay home because it's raining.
Well, my lovely fiance, Lauren, and I, we went and hung out at Kate Sessions Park in afternoon yesterday.
Right.
But I'll tell you, man, it got kind of cold. It got kind of cold and windy. And Kate Sessions is great because you're up high and you're looking, you look at the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
You're looking downtown. But it's also like Stormont's 2019. Right? Like, I could see all of the clouds.
The systems moving
from
in.
From north and from the west. And I was like, babe, I can smell that rain in the air, babe. And I don't think.
We got to get in.
And she's like, if you feel my nose is really cold. It's a cold rain. And so that was.
Was that you or her?
That was both of us. I do think, did Mark go? I think Mark went, or
God bless
Mark
him.
Was soft like me and avoided the rain. Mark, good morning, buddy. Did you make your way out to the stadium yesterday?
Yeah, I made my way out. I was expecting, not to be like to throw a damper on it, I was expecting a lot more, you know, tailgating and energy, and it was kind of dead in there. Maybe
yeah.
10,000, I thought. They said 20,000. There's no way there's 20,000 people in that stadium, guys. It was. If you notice on TV, I watched it when I got home last night. They really didn't even show the crowd.
No.
Because the crowd was so desolate, you know?
Yeah. So, Mark, do you think that the rain kept it away, or do you think overall just the excitement level may have waned after week one?
I think the excitement level may have waned, and I think people maybe propped up this game way more than it was going to happen. It just wasn't what I expected. I thought it was going to be a lot more. I knew it wasn't going to be an NFL crowd, but I was expecting way more. Carne asada on the grill and stuff like that, and it wasn't like that.
What do you think of the football itself?
Football itself is what it is, you know? It's basically like the fourth preseason game. That's the way I look at it.
Mark, do you think that next weekend when we have another home game, and although it might be cold and breezy, but if it's like brilliant sunshine, that it'll be a different, I guess, dynamic in the stadium, in the parking lot? Like the rain really had a lot to do with it?
But it wasn't really raining. It was kind of spotty drizzle, you know. It wasn't pouring. I was there from 2 o'clock on, and it wasn't like it was a downpour. I think it's going to kind of fade off, to be honest. I hate to say it, but it just seemed, I thought there was going to be a lot more hype this week, even with the drizzle. It just wasn't there, guys.
Mike, thanks for, I'm sorry, Mark, thanks for the phone call. I would, you're Mike Costa in for Nick, 844-570-1360. Again, the storylines that you were either looking for or that you found from the AAF, and it is San Antonio next week in town.
Revenge game.
And I had to check the date because it just says February 24th. Now, February 24th is a Sunday, right?
Yes.
I don't understand the 5 p.m. start time on a Sunday late afternoon. Well, that's really evening. A Sunday 5 p.m. start time, like I would venture to guess that affected attendance as well. I think that Saturday, and again, I don't decide the game times. I don't know the game times, but they do matter. And so a Saturday 5 p.m. or a Sunday 1 p.m., I think would have changed the attendance. I think that what Mark was talking about, because I saw the same thing, 10,000 people, although you didn't see it if you watched television. Mm-hmm. They kept it snug as a bug in a rug. I mean, they kept it tight where they were not going to show you the crowd. But do you think the start time doesn't seem like the best idea?
It really does. And granted, we have to take everything with a grain of salt this year because it really is nebulous as far as what they're going to do heading into year number two, if there in fact is a year number two. I think an earlier start on a Sunday makes perfect sense. Why not make it a noon start on a Sunday?
Yeah.
Where families, you're in and out in 2.5 hours. You can still get to family dinner. Kids got homework, the whole nine yards. You can still get there plenty of time to tailgate. I wouldn't be surprised, Judson, if that Sunday kickoff time changes to the afternoon. Not to say like, well, the NFL does it at 1 o'clock, we're gonna do it at 1 o'clock. No. You want people to show up, make it as easy as possible for them to show up.
By the way, if the NFL does it one particular way, I may recommend doing it that way because it's worked out pretty well for the NFL in popularity. And I would venture to guess, would you agree with me that it may be because of television, like television rights and start time and when the NFL Network wants to air it or when CBS Sports has it fall in?
Yeah.
Because that, to me, that is trash. Like that's exactly what we have with San Diego State Sports. And I know Rocky Long, I know Brian Dutcher would love different start times in their games, especially Rocky, because Rocky's a 1 o'clock Saturday guy.
Oh, yeah. Traditionalist.
And, you know, working the sidelines for the San Diego State games, which you certainly know that gig in itself, as it's 10:15, as the fourth quarter is about to begin on a Saturday night.
You're dragging.
So who are you selling your product to? Is it to San Diego? Because if you're selling it to San Diego, shouldn't kids be taken into consideration?
Without a doubt.
You think parents, now the games are faster, so I do like that. So I can't say an 8 o'clock fourth quarter, but you're going to be, 7 o'clock on a Sunday night as they're getting ready for school.
Yep.
On a Monday, that's the start time that you want to have. That's who you're trying to share your product to.
No, that's who you're growing. That's where the roots of your fan base are going to grow with the young kids who maybe, they were young enough when the Chargers left where they really didn't notice it, but now they're a couple years older and like, oh, okay, this is really my first taste of quote-unquote pro football. No, I think that's where you have to market. They talk about it all the time. It's family-friendly prices, et cetera, et cetera. Well, then really make it as, optimal for those families to make a day of it at your product, with your product.
Here's a question I don't know the answer to, and we'll get to the NBA All-Star Weekend and the greatness that defensive display was yesterday that we watched. But what does the AAF consider a successful inaugural season? Is it television revenue-based? Is it ticket sale-based? Is it just... I actually don't know. Because I don't know if the business model is set up to give themselves a 3-year opportunity. Because if you look at the money being spent on players,
oh yeah,
you know I'm not a guy who's dealt with a lot of money in his lifetime, but I, for whatever reason, I tend to watch this with like with a monetary value in mind, and so I look at all of the NFL names around it, and you look at the Kurt Warners and the Hines Wards and the Troy Polamalus, and you look at Mike Martz on the sideline. I mean, Marvin Lewis is in the game. He's calling the game, which I don't know why he doesn't want a little vacation time after struggling to do his thing in the playoffs. Like, financially, are they viable to give themselves a three-year opportunity before Big Brother NFL swoops in and says, hey, we want to be attached to you? Or is this going to last his season?
Do you think that's the end game, though? To make it, I guess, not to make it a goose that lays the golden egg like the NFL is, but to make it viable enough for the NFL says, okay, we now have our official minor leagues other than college football. We'll absorb this, and we will put X amount of dollars to it, because you're looking at all the guys who are out there playing and what they're getting paid. You're looking at travel costs, team costs, practice facilities, et cetera, et cetera. And if you're stacking that up against either, well, there's no really TV revenue because you're paying to be on these networks, and ticket sales, no, you're going to be operating in the red. You're already
completely
in the red. Yeah. So
yes.
I don't know if
millions and millions and millions in the red, it seems like, as of now.
I think, Judson, I would say you asked the question about, you know, what do you deem a success? Do you deem it a success if you're able to put a percentage of your players back into the NFL, thereby proving to the NFL, okay, this worked? It's going to work for you. It's going to grow seeds. We're going to plant seeds here that's going to bear fruit for you at the highest level.
You know, I don't think that the league started with wanting to be attached to the NFL. I do think, I don't know, they wouldn't call themselves a competitor, but I think that they were trying to fill a need.
Yes.
When we didn't have football with, as Oliver Luck told us, Andrew Luck's father, commissioner of the XFL, as he told us to the Radio Row, he said, 85 million people love football in this country, and there's a chunk of time where they are without it. So the XFL is looking to fill a need. The AAF looking to fill a need. The only way that I think they can actually sustain it is if they are a minor league somewhat facility for the NFL.
Yep.
You know, our a resident Chiefs fan.
Yes.
You know, he used to watch some NFL Europe, and he would watch the team once they put that logo of the Kansas City Chiefs attached to an NFL Europe team. If it's a legitimate feeder, you will have that connection. For there to be popularity for the AAF, I do think there will need to be some symbol of your NFL team to connect the two.
Yeah, and I don't know if it means that, like, you know, what you have with Major League Baseball or the National Hockey League, where every franchise has either XFL or an AAF team. I don't know if you're going to be able to fill that many teams and have it work that way. When you look at what the AAF is right now, it's fledgling, it's nebulous, there's so many moving parts. You know, we had Dave Bowler, GM, on last week, and he's talking about it is just seeming like they're getting to a pattern or a regular schedule. Mm-hmm. So I think the fact that there's just still so much going on and still so many more moving pieces, that they may even look at this first year as, okay, this has just been an experiment for us. We're going to tweak a bunch of different things. This is the soft rollout.
Right.
The soft open. Next year is really when they may think like they're hitting the ground running and going.
But then the money comes back into it. It's like, really? They've got that deep of pockets where this multi-million dollar rollout is just to get them to the second season. Hey, we'll get you the Manny Machado news coming up at 8:30. I'm sorry, 6:30, 12 minutes away. Manny Machado, the Padres. There is a number out there about how much the Padres have potentially offered Manny Machado. We'll get to that in just a little bit. All right, All-Star Weekend. We'll have to probably turn to our millennial to find out what he liked, disliked, because Costa...
No.
No. You just a hard pass on.
Listen, drag it out behind the woodshed, shoot it, and just be
done. It's that bad, really?
Oh, my.
Really?
God. It is.
You mean the star power? Because, you know, one thing that the AAF does not have are stars. The NBA.
True.
NBA's got some of the biggest stars that we absolutely have in sports.
Galore.
From a Steph Curry to a Kevin Durant to a LeBron James.
Yeah.
That's not reason enough for you to tune in for... Shout out to Steph for being in the three-point shooting contest, right?
Yeah, good for Steph. A lot of fun.
Yeah,
he did. A couple perfect racks. Like, he was awesome.
Well, Ben, that's his hometown, though, right?
I learned there was someone named Joe Harris. I learned there's a Joe Harris in the NBA.
And he's better than Steph Curry.
Obviously, yeah.
Really? Oh boy, I've got to go back and watch this now.
The
even skills though I didn't
competition
DVR
was a lot of fun.
You were in the
Jason
skills comp.
Jason Tatum ended up hitting a half quarter to just edge out little Trae Young. And it was awesome.
I did watch, and I say this. There are things that we just need to acknowledge that are for kids, and we shouldn't bitch about it. That's how I feel about the Home Run Derby, and more specifically, how I feel about the Slam Dunk Contest. But the Slam Dunk Contest, to me, is a lot like ESPN, and more specifically, SportsCenter. Once you kind of made highlights in our hand constantly, it takes away from having to go search and seek things out. And a lot of that is like the Slam Dunk Contest, right? I mean, when I see, you know, some kid in a little college that may not be a very good basketball player, that's got a 49-inch vertical that can do dunks I've never seen before,
yeah,
it makes what the guys do in the NBA less impressive because I'm seeing it all of the time. I still found it to be fun, though. Did you watch the Slam Dunk Contest?
Yeah, I have one of them if you want it.
Let's hear it. Sure. What'd it sound like?
People are getting on their feet now. They want to see this. Can Hamidou Diallo go over the 7'2" Shaquille O'Neal? Diallo makes his way towards Shaq, rises, puts it up and in, and hangs on the rim a la Vince Carter at the elbow.
That one was awesome.
He went over
Shaq and then did the honey bucket thing.
And hung it. Yeah.
Okay, so 7'2" Shaq, is 7'2" Shaq standing there?
Yes.
And he barely tapped his shoulder.
No, he did not. No. He propelled himself off of his back.
So did he split his legs as he's going over?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, although he kind of pushed off of the middle shoulder of Shaq. But
barely.
Went over him. He had the Superman inside the jersey. It was creative. One thing that the All-Star Festivities reminds me of about the NBA is like, I feel like you've got star status and superstar status, and then the bottom of the NFL. I don't NBA. I don't feel like there's a lot of middle ground in the NBA. Can you pronounce that? Do you know that guy?
Diallo?
Yeah. What's his first name?
Hamidou.
Come on.
Hamidou, something like that.
What is it?
He was famous in college.
What's his first name? What's his first name?
Hamidou Diallo.
He and Zion went back and forth in college in a dunk contest.
Could you pick Joe Harris out of a lineup?
Not if my life
depended on it. Did you know Joe Harris is a white guy?
He is?
He is. Yes. See? There's not a lot of middle ground. It's like superstar. It's like LeBron James is worth $80 billion.
You know what?
Like, I think above Diallo.
I know that race relations in our country are really bad. You know, for all we hear that, oh, it's great. No, it's not. But I think an all white slam dunk contest might be very, very entertaining for.
You know, what they call that a layup line.
They do. For its lack of athleticism.
Did you watch the game? No. I tuned into the game because I felt like I should see what it looked like. That's kind of, it's like.
The only thing I saw was.
Do you love alley-oops?
The only thing I saw was Kevin Durant accepting the MVP trophy and Kyrie Irving just standing there going. We're going to be in New York next year together.
I really like Kevin Durant. Every time I see him, I just think, you seem sad to me. I just like, KD, I'm like, you need a hug, bro. He just
But why does he need a hug? He's got the world by the tail.
Now that's a deep question.
He is just not sad. There's a void that has not been filled.
Yep.
Yet we all look at him
like
going.
Like Jim Carrey.
I think so.
There's a sadness inside.
There is. The tears of a clown. It's like, KD, you own the world, man. Enjoy it. He just can't enjoy it.
He really can't. He really can't. Just holding up a trophy, crying. Just wailing.
He needs to find himself a lady.
Does he have a lady?
He has his mom.
Ooh, that's creepy.
She's the real MVP. But you're right.
She's a great woman. You're right.
Whoever he wants or needs, he should find that.
God, I'll find it for him. Do you want me to do the tease for 6:30 right now?
Yeah, fire away, buddy.
So how much money have the Padres offered Manny Machado? And how much is too much? I'll let you know what figure's floating out there when we get back. How do I say this? Richards and Costa, Judson and Mike.
It's about time my name came first.
Fill it in for Nick Hardwick.
Did Nick get to the mountains all right?
He was anticipating going skiing because it's the kids' ski week, right?
Ski week, yeah. He turned I don't know which direction. I'm geographically challenged. Did he go right? Did he go left? Did he go north?
Whatever it is, south.
He went to Mexico.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
So instead of east, he went south?
Yes. Well, okay. Depends on where he went in Mexico. He could have gone southeast, could have gone southwest. You never know.
Well, Mammoth has gotten so much damn snow that it's really, really hard to get there.
It is.
So, yeah, they're like, well, we'll just go to Mexico. So he's laying on beach somewhere.
I saw him at the Kyle Kraska blood drive last week, and we were talking, and I said, so, you know, are you still planning on going skiing? He goes, well, it's a little hard to get to Mammoth right now. In fact, the roads are closed.
Soft.
So, well, I said, so Hawaii maybe? He goes, that's what I'm jockeying for. So apparently Jamie wanted to go to Mexico, though.
Well, good. Glad he got a little downtime. So yeah. Happy for the Hardwicks. But we are here, 844-570-1360. Do you think out there the Padres have a legitimate chance of landing Manny Machado? And I mean, because we went over percentages last week. And I was at one percentage being zero. Nick had moved it to 20 to 25% to get Manny Machado. Where's your percentage at? Realistically, we'll go over the news in just a moment.
Realistically, I think it's somewhere between 1% and 5%. My biggest worry, Judson, is now for all the reports out there, apparently the Padres have made the biggest, longest offer to Machado.
Yes.
And we don't have we have a ballpark figure, but we're not sure. My biggest fear is just like Price is Right, when you've bid $100 on something. And I go, what's the highest bid? And Drew says, well, it's 100. And I say, okay, 100. I'll go 101. That it's going to be like the Yankees or somebody who swoops in at the last moment and says, they offered you what? All right, we'll increase it by $1 million. Come be in pinstripes.
There is something you need to seriously take into consideration when it comes to the marketing and advertising a player feels like he can do with the Padres and with another team.
Oh.
You also have to take the California taxes into account. The does he want to be here bad enough with what it will immediately take away of what it costs to live in California. So here is the news. John Heyman, formerly CBS Sports Now, I believe he's with Fansided. John Heyman, who, you know, has got the beat. He's one of the top players from being an insider. He says Padres are not kidding around and are said to have made serious offers for both Machado and Harper. Their bid for Machado is believed to be for about $250 million. He did say, though, there is the California tax and possibly deferrals.
Oh.
He says the bid for Harper believed to be for more than that. Now, Kevin Acey of San Diego Union Tribune did quote that Heyman tweet, and he says, I don't know the years, but my understanding is the offer to Machado is for more than $250 million. There's a lot to unpack there.
There's a ton to unpack, and you are the Padres. See, my first question, Judson, is whether it's Harper or Machado, or if it's both, then I say, okay, you have definitely made your team better. But if you sign the one guy, how much better have you made your team? Is a Harper or a Machado such a clubhouse presence? They're incredible talents on the field and at the plate. I get that. But are they that guy where somebody comes in, a young kid, and goes, all right, we're going to rally around Manny Machado. We're going to rally around Bryce. And this is going to have this Tom Brady effect on this clubhouse. And here we go.
Well, I guess to answer that question, it depends on what you legitimately think of the farm system. Because if you think that their farm system is what, I don't know, Kyle Glazer, Baseball America,
the
said,
best, right?
Said it, well, he said it could be the best in a decade of any farm system. Keith Law says that it was the number one farm system, and Fernando Tatis Jr. believed to be the number one prospect by Keith Law in all of baseball. So, Manny Machado with this Padres team right now, they wouldn't even come close to winning the NL West. I wouldn't even see them competitive because of the pitching staff. But if the pitching staff, from a farm system standpoint, has a chance to be competitive, then I think you could make the case. I don't think I would make the case because I believe the prospects are far more closer to suspects than they are actually big-time, big-league talent. I mean, one out of five, okay. If you're counting on all five to be competitive, there's a problem. But I do think that there are those that respect the farm system enough that Manny Machado, mixed with these players upcoming over the next 3, 4, 5 years, will be competitive. But I do think there are a number of people out there think that Manny Machado should not be given that much money.
Well, if anybody who says, yeah, I sometimes take plays off, I may loaf sometimes, it's like, whoa, wait a second. Especially if you're going to have that very young clubhouse in a couple of years, guys who might be a little impressionable. Now,
How many guys loaf? How many guys loaf and don't say it? And how many guys like Manny Machado messed up and said it?
Oh, I think a lot more guys loaf than we harp on Manny Machado because he said it.
Yes.
But if you watch any game on any given night when someone hits a routine grounder to the second baseman, right, it's like they slow down halfway down the base.
So does that mean it shouldn't it be a non-story?
It probably should be, yeah. No, no. It's a story because he says it and because of the dollar figures attached to where he might go next.
So do you think because it was in the playoffs when he said it?
Bingo.
Well, I still think no matter when, it would have been big news. But is it now a non-story if a lot of guys don't hustle?
Well, apparently it's a non-story because there's teams that are really, really interested in signing him, and we haven't seen anybody say, well, you know, we really wanted to take a run at Machado, but God, that loafing statement he made, we got to shy away.
Would you rather have a Travis Jankowski who is a 100% guy all the time, but Manny Machado has more ability in his little finger, or would you rather have Manny? I've sat here and said, I said it last week.
Yeah.
I'll take Manny Machado moonwalking to first base. I would take a Manny Machado walking every time he hit the ball on the ground to first base over the players that the Padres have. At 26 years of age, he is a transcendent talent. He is a top 30 performer through his first 6 years of his career all time.
All you have is... I was sold, and I don't know what game it was in the World Series this year, but he made a really tough play in the field. Looked so routine where he just kind of, and it was almost a Mahomes no-look flip to first base with the throw, and you're like, oh my God, how many guys in Major League Baseball cannot and will never, ever be able to make that play? And he made it seem like he does it every single game.
Yeah, and they still offered Bryce Harper more. Honestly, I mean that's a part of the tweet that John just kind of slid in there. It's like, really? Why do you think they offered Bryce Harper more?
Okay, do you think that he's going to end up at the Phillies? Because that seemed to be the big news over the weekend.
I still stick with the Nationals.
Why would you go to Phil? Right, if it's the same amount of money, although the Nats have pulled that off the table.
Right,
from what we know.
Yes, but they also said it could be back on the table from quotes I read.
Stay where you're loved.
I agree, man. I agree. Snip, snap, snip, snap.
Yeah. I mean, why would you want to go to Philly?
Also, I think that if they did offer Bryce more, I think they're just – Bryce is a bigger star. There is more return on investment immediately with the biggest name in baseball, Bryce Harper, over Manny Machado, who a lot of people have soured on.
Well, Judson, Harper has that reputation of being a mutter. Even though he's going to be making a gazillion dollars, he still has that look of a lunch pail guy.
Wes, if you want to hang out, we'll get to the other side, buddy. There were nothing that would make my best of the weekend, because today's a holiday, right? So
it is.
We're still living our best weekend. Best of the weekend coming up next.
There's a lot more that happens over a weekend than we can fit in a three-hour show.
Derek Johnson, the all-time leading tackler in the history of the game.
Hardwick and Richards give you the best of the rest with the best of the weekend.
All right, time for the best of the weekend. Jump in, 844-570-1360. Costa in for Nick. We'll get back to the fleet and the AEF at 7 o'clock. Also, do you want the Padres to go after Manny Machado, even if he's not going to hustle? Revisit that audio coming up inside the 7 o'clock hour. Costa, why don't we let Cody get us started for the best
Let's
of the weekend?
Let's do it.
Are you good with that?
What's up, Cody?
Cody! What's good, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning.
Good morning, Cody.
Good morning, Cody.
Hey, so I just flew back home last night from Utah. I spent the weekend up there.
Are your arms tired?
Oh, Cody, I've been following you on the gram, dude. You've been living the best life.
Man, I am sore from head to toe, dude. But I drove up with my boss on Friday, and we snowboarded Brian Head in southern Utah and saw a couple of my best friends. He's on ski patrol there, so he just showed us the whole entire mountain. It was pretty sick. They got 10 inches overnight, and it's known to be really, really windy up there, like 100 mile per hour gusts of winds, but there was absolutely no wind and perfect snow. It was great. And then we continued on continued on to Salt Lake City after that. We drove straight up Salt Lake after we rode that day and snowboarded Brighton yesterday. And then I flew home. It was a great trip. It was quick and long at the same time.
I was going to say, so you didn't get trapped anywhere? Like, I don't mean out in the mountains, but I mean from like a traveling standpoint, because there's so much great snow happening all around the country, but if you get locked in, like, you know, the Dealmans got trapped in Mammoth, couldn't get back.
That's what Nick was telling me.
Yeah. So you didn't get no flight delays, no nothing, Cody?
No, nothing. The flight was good. Mammoth has the most snow in the whole entire country. They're just getting slammed. But, you know, Utah has had a pretty good winter. They've got a base of, you know, 130 inches, which is pretty good.
Jeez. So did you run into Quentin Jammer? He didn't tackle you, did he?
No, dude, not this time.
Come on, give me the drop, Cody. I want it live.
Nah, man.
Cody, appreciate you, buddy. 844-570-1360, best of the weekend. Nah, man. I don't know if you heard the infamous Cody Troutslayer. We were talking about meeting a favorite athlete or meeting a, you know, just someone.
His
that
was
you
Quentin?
Idolized. Yes, and they hit it off in Utah. So much so where they're throwing snowballs at each other, and he asked him to tackle him one time.
Nah, man.
And that was his response. Love Cody. Cody Troutslayer, I don't know if it's Instagram is private or public, but if you love snowboarding and deep powder, Cody was living his best life. All right, our man kidding. Wes. You know, I shut Wes down last week because I just thought.
Why?
Wes is so optimism.
Good morning, Nick. How you doing?
Hi, Wes. How you doing, kid?
I'm doing good. Hey, I got to get some Padre stuff. Now, in addition to Manny Machado, a great talent, if they can get Manny in here, Manny or Bryce, it not only would it help the young kids becoming to know what we're pitching our everyday lineup with Will Myers and all the guys, but it would bring back our glory days, like Mr. Padre, Tony Gwynn, like the Ken Caminiti, Steve Bailey. But the thing I'm worried about on Padre baseball right now, guys, can we get a great free agent pitcher like a Dallas Keuchel right
yeah.
now? Can we bring back Craig Kimbrell? Because if you go to Kirby Yates in the eighth and bring Craig Kimbrell in the ninth, you're going to have like a great 1-2 punch like the Yankee punch when they had like John Wetland in eighth and also the Hall of Famer to go with Trevor Hobbit, Mariano Rivera in the ninth. But I want to get you guys' opinion on that. And then we can win an NL West championship and put more Padre fans in the seat. Get those Dodger fans out there and NL West champions 2019 for the Pods in 2019.
We need Wes to do updates because he doesn't need to take a breath.
No, he does.
I mean, that was spectacular.
He doesn't need a puffer.
I agree with everything Wes said today, believe it or not.
Judson, here's the thing. We talk about the big bats of Machado or Harper, and I still say Machado, if he's a non-hustler, Padres don't need that right now.
Come on!
But no, but if we have no one that is pitching, and you're going to rely on a Machado and or a Harper, and then the rest of those weak-ass bats to have to score a bunch of runs.
I know.
Forget it. That recipe ain't going to work.
We're going to go back to Manny Machado. We're going to play the audio.
No Machado.
Mr. Johnny No Hustle. And we're going to find out if that is enough for you to say no to Manny, especially over a $250 million. I got to think maybe an eight-year deal they've offered him. We'll get back to that coming up at 7:10. My best of the weekend very quickly. Pretty proud of myself, Costa.
What'd you do?
Changed a brake light. You know, it's not as easy as it looks. You know?
What'd you change it on?
It was on a Ford Escape. This was Lauren's whip.
Okay, so yeah. You had to unscrew the back light cover.
You had to pop
cover,
out a cap.
Pop it out.
Two caps.
Really?
You have to unscrew two screws.
Yes.
Then you have to kind of pop out the what do they call the whole brake light glass part.
Yes.
Piece. Shoot the glass. And then you have to figure out what you unscrew to pop it out. It's really like a 7-step process.
Where did you go get the bulb from?
I went to AutoZone.
And did you know
shout
which...
out to my fine folks.
Okay.
At the
and you told whoever was behind the counter, here's the whip.
I 2014 need a... Ford Escape light.
And I need a brake light. And they went right down and got you a little. How much was a brake light?
$7.
Oh! Wow. Righteous. And you
did
changed
myself.
It. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's almost like that's pioneer spirit.
Went and bought a tool belt afterwards. Felt so manly.
He's still wearing it.
He is.
And that's it. Your best of the weekend?
My best of the weekend was I got caught up on a ton of gardening that had not taken place since the rains had set in, and my hands are witnesses to an idiot who didn't wear gloves. But I feel good about that.
What's with you with the no gloves and the no pants? Like, your legs are chopped to crap,
I know,
too.
I know. I could get a pair of Dickies or something, but I do it in this old pair of camo shorts that I have that are like my beaters. And my hands...
Why are your hands way up here? Are they that short? It's like little Daisy Duke camo shorts? Skies out, thighs out. And on that note, you got your best of the weekend?
Kendall came to town.
Kendall!
We asked Nick for a dinner recommendation.
Yeah.
And he said, a cheapish Italian joint that you're going to love.
Oh, God.
Cheap to Nick is a lot different than cheap to me.
Yeah. But usually Nick's pretty cognizant of that stuff.
The food was awesome.
Where'd you go?
But it was a $70 bill.
Total? That is cheap.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Did you get any alcohol?
Yeah, we got a wine.
Yeah, $70 for
you got
appetizer, two drinks, and...
Oh, no appetizers. What do you think this is?
You got a wine or a bottle of wine?
We got a bottle of wine.
Okay.
It was $30, and then our food was $45.
That's not bad.
No, it's not.
It's really not bad.
What'd you have?
Cheapskate. God, Kendall's worth it, man.
Bolognese.
Okay.
A what?
A Bolognese.
Bolognese.
Is that guy who won the slam dunk contest?
Yes.
844-570-1360. He says he doesn't hustle. Do you care? You want Manny Machado to be a Padre? We'll tackle that next.